Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We are at Chickie's in South Philly. Jordan Mailata Show coming up at 6 o'clock with Jordan, myself, and Elliot. And then the Players Lounge with Ike Reese, Hugh Douglas. Can you call it? Ike Reese, Hugh Douglas, Elliot Shore Parks, and this week's guest, Tanner McKee. Speaking of the Players Lounge, these chairs, a little more loungy.
Yeah.
It fits the Players Lounge a little bit better, I would say.
Right? Certainly fits a lounge.
Yeah.
Yes.
Jordan
yeah.
ought to be happy with these seats.
I mean, he's a big man.
Yeah.
I hope they support him. That's my only.
Yeah. Yeah.
The only hesitation.
You think BG's upset?
Oh, then we waited until
he did the show for 15 years.
Never sat in a good seat.
He was on the bench the whole time.
Yeah. On the wood.
Yeah. Yep. Pause.
The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's wants to wish our team good luck this October. Experience the difference with showrooms in Montgomeryville and Mount Laurel. All right, new poll. Which describes more how you feel about A.J. Brown today, annoyed or understanding?
Oh, I guarantee you most people are annoyed by this.
What do you think the poll's at?
Let's go 70%.
52% annoyed.
Oh, only 52.
48% understanding.
Wow.
People love A.J.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, I do too. But they just won a game. We get it.
Yeah.
We get it.
Yeah.
We get it.
Yeah.
We need to get you the ball. Like, you want to be more involved. We get it. We understand.
2 hours after the game ended.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, we get it.
And didn't delete it, which is an old AJ
did
move.
Did not delete
and
it.
And didn't pull the I was hacked move.
No. He did pull I was hacked a couple of years ago.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And then we broke that. No one brought that up. That we broke on the air. It's all the negativity.
But he admitted to it the next day.
Yes,
yeah,
he
pretty
did.
Much admitted to it the next day.
What did you think of...
Can I FaceTime him?
Yeah.
Buzz, please.
See your face.
Yeah. Just forehead in the shot. Only yes. Only your forehead. What do you think of Nick Sirianni jawing with Baker Mayfield?
Well, that's two hotheads right there.
Yep. Yeah,
so... Not surprised at all. I would prefer my coach not get involved with any of that, but it didn't seem to get out of hand. But, listen, Baker's a talker, and if you're going to talk to Nick Sirianni, he's going to talk back. Like, he's going to talk back. If you're going to talk trash, I don't know how it started.
Right.
Right? So, he's not going to shy away from that if that's what you want to do.
There's been a few of those this year with Nick, I think. The only thing that I thought of when I saw it is we've had a bunch of the personal foul and taunting penalties this year.
Yeah.
And for me, a lot of the times the team is the reflection of the coach.
Uh-oh.
Well, I mean, if your head coach is doing that,
yeah,
it's hard as a coach to tell the players you can't taunt, you can't do this, you can't do that. But I'm here jawing with the quarterback on the other team.
Right.
I just think from a Nick, I like that he's fiery. I mm-hmm. like that he cares. I like all those things. I just think he's got to leave that stuff in yesterday. I just think in the evolution of Nick, if you want to be one of the like considered, thought of up there with the top coaches in the NFL,
yeah.
Because I don't think he gets the respect that he deserves from a winning perspective. Mm-hmm. You look at his record and you look at his accomplishments compared to and think about how long he's been in the league, only 5 years.
Yeah.
It's pretty unprecedented to be there.
Yeah.
But he doesn't, I don't think, get that national acclaim. And I think part of it is this. And I just think if you have a Jalen Carter who's had a couple of these penalties so far, one that got him kicked out of the game. You had Cooper DeJean had one yesterday. You know, I think it's just hard if you're a coach to tell the players not to do it if you're doing it.
Yeah, the spinning thing is ridiculous.
Yeah.
So, but some of the other taunting flags are really more of the emphasis that the league is trying to do away with it. Like, I've seen that with Cooper DeJean did. I've seen that a million times in the past, and it was never flagged. Like, it was never flagged. So they are looking to do this stuff now, the penalized players for what's deemed unsportsmanlike. Yeah, I don't think Nick should make a habit of it. And because I never think a coach should get into jawing with players out there on the field. But I understand my coach, too. And I understand every once in a while it's gonna happen with him.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, it just is. I think that whatever it is in him that gets his blood going, there's something about being – and he's a former player. There's something about being down there in the thick of things that your juices get going. When the opposing team comes jawing at you, it's going to be hard for him to walk away from it. There's a clip out there. So Bill Belichick, this happened with Bill Belichick, I believe. There's a clip out there. You can find it. My old college teammate, Derek Mason, used to be a receiver.
I've seen that one.
Tennessee, yeah. And in Baltimore. He's messing with Bill Belichick, jawing at him. And Bill Belichick is like, oh, Mason, why don't you shut the bleep up?
Yeah.
Now, Bill's not going to show a lot of emotion there, but that was his reply to D-Mace, who was basically jawing at him over there. Yeah. Nick's just one of those guys, man. I'm
just not sure that Baker was even saying anything to him. I thought Nick was, like, instigating it.
Like, yeah, I didn't see how it started.
I think he was jawing Baker for making a bad throw.
Okay.
And and that was what was annoying to me. It's like,
okay.
And then it kind of woke Baker up. I mean, Baker played really well in the, and he threw the pick. And it kind of threw everything off.
Uh-oh. Oops. Jack slipped.
Freudian slip.
Yeah, I want to be clear. That was Jack.
No, but like.
Not me.
If they came back and won that game, Baker was going to say something about Nick. And I think Nick could have woken them up for no reason.
Yeah.
Like, you don't need to be jawing at Baker Mayfield. You're a Super Bowl winning coach.
Yeah, I didn't see that part of it. Okay.
Yeah, I didn't see it either.
Yeah.
215-592-9494.
Yeah, he does not need to be. Yeah, no. He definitely doesn't need to initiate any of it.
Tim in Maple Shade, you're on WIP. What's up, Tim?
Unfortunate.
Hey, how you doing, fellas?
What's up, Tim?
Yeah, it came out.
It's the first time calling on your show. I have a question about your coordinator, our coordinator and our head coach.
Okay.
And how it may contribute to the inconsistency of our offense.
Okay.
Because I'm thinking about the tale of two halves in both games, where last week, you know, we were slow, lethargic in the first half. In the second half, we came out like ball busters. Yesterday's game, busters, you know, we were like... Busters. You know, we felt like a
this
team, and
that.
In the second half, you know, we were really, we had no clue. Now, I was wondering if that contributes to the fact that we have a head coach who can't call plays and an offensive coordinator who has never called plays. I just want to get your opinion on that.
Well, how did the offensive coordinator call the plays in the first half?
Well, I'm thinking that maybe, yes, his preparation for the first half went well, and in the second half, he just ran out of ideas. That was the fact of, you know, their adjustment, the Buccaneers' adjustment,
right.
You know, to our offense.
Buccaneers.
You know, and they just ran out of ideas. And I felt that way when we had those three straight incompletions to A.J. Brown. Like, we didn't know what else to do on offense in the second half. I just want to get you guys' opinion on that.
Yeah, listen, I don't think play design was the issue in the second half. Seemed more like execution. I don't know what happened at halftime. But it certainly seemed like they came out in the second half with a concerted effort to get the ball to A.J.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so much so, like you said, the three plays, they went straight to him, bang, bang, bang. I don't think we completed any of the three.
Well, and I'll tell you this, if we can't run the ball, the offense thing is going to get tougher, I think, if we can't run the ball. Because we haven't been an offense, and we're not going to be an offense. Like the offense that we saw Tampa running, we're never going to do that. We're not going to drop back and throw it 45 times if we don't have to. You know, like
right. Get down 24-3.
But in general, they're more willing to throw the ball,
yeah.
and there are teams that are more willing to throw the ball. We're not. It's just never who the Eagles have been. And if they're not able to run the ball, which I do think to some extent is just an execution issue, I don't think Jordan Mailata is lying when he keeps telling us that it's on them, and they're not blocking and they're not executing the way that they did last year. Mm-hmm. It's going to be trouble if we can't run the ball at some point. And I think that contributes to the second half, because when they're blitzing, that gives us a way to answer when we're passing the ball. If they're not blitzing anymore, then we got to be able to run the ball. And we weren't able to run the ball in either half last year. I mean, that was the worst game that Saquon's had this year,
Yeah. You
know, from a statistical standpoint.
So the response that we get from Jordan Mailata and other players, you don't think that's just a PR response, because the players are not going to call out their coaches and coordinators. But it just seems like on the field,
but what if it's true? But what if it's true? Like, what if the truth is that the offensive line is just not playing well this year?
Yeah.
They're not playing as well. What if Saquon isn't playing as well? It's possible. You know, we've thank you for the call, Tim. We've gotten so used to the offensive line being the best offensive line in football.
Yeah.
At some point, it's not going to be the best offensive line in football.
It's not automatic.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not automatic. You still got to execute and play well.
Yeah. And I think that is entirely possible that is some of it.
Yeah.
215-592-9494. Coming up next, should be an interesting Nick Sirianni press conference. Who do you think asked the A.J. Brown question?
Hopefully Elliot.
You think Elliot will ask
him? Definitely be Elliot.
Right. If he sees the press conference trending in one way.
Yes. Yeah. About field goals.
Well, he doesn't wait long to get in there.
No. So, no. Yeah. 215-592-9494. You'll hear Nick Sirianni next. We'll talk to you about the game as well. We are at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly, the official sports bar of your Philadelphia Eagles. It's a WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickies in South Philly, as we are every Monday. Love being here. Monday's Jordan Mailata show at 6. Jordan Mailata, myself, and Elliot Shore Parks. It's the Players Lounge at 7. Live from our new chairs with Ike Reese, Hugh Douglas, Elliot Shore Parks. This week's guest is Tanner McKee,
the official quarterback of the Players Lounge.
Oh, has he done more Players Lounge appearances than anybody else?
I'm just saying, when we get a quarterback on here, really all the guys that are on the Players Lounge
are the official,
blank place of the Players Lounge.
So does
you stole Jordan Mailata.
Yes, sorry. Yeah. Yeah, it's been because you guys had Jordan a bunch in the Players Lounge, right?
Yeah.
Jordan, you know what I've noticed about Jordan? Jordan loves having his name on the show.
Oh, yeah.
He loves that it's called the Jordan Mailata Show.
Okay. Oh,
okay,
yes, sir.
Oh, he loves it.
Oh, look at that, the Jordan Mailata Show.
There it is.
Yeah, there you two are.
There we are, me and Elliot.
Questioning the football team.
Yep, as usual.
Yep.
By the way, we will have Nick Sirianni's day after press conference very, very soon. I can't wait to hear the A.J. Brown question and answer. I know he's going to find a way to not answer it. The coach's press conference sponsored by PDQ Signature Systems. If you're in the restaurant, hospitality, or casino business, you need a PDQ POS system. With PDQ POS, you'll sell more, earn more, and work less. If you want the best, trust PDQ POS. Visit PDQPOS.com.
How long will the answer be? Over under a minute and a half?
On the A.J. thing?
Yeah.
You know what he should just say? He should just say, we handle that stuff internally. Done. That's what he should do.
He'll start with that.
And he won't just end there.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think he will acknowledge that as anything for him to handle.
Oh, I'll leave that. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I don't know what he meant by that tweet.
Yeah. I like the Bible, too.
I haven't spoken to AJ, so I don't know. I haven't had a chance to.
I love the I haven't had a chance
to
talk to him.
I haven't had a chance to speak to him. Players are off today.
Yeah.
I don't know what he meant by the tweet.
Well, players are in today, though, right? They're off tomorrow.
That's a good point. Yeah,
come so, in today so to he watch will them. Have seen him, right?
Yeah, that's true.
What if he says, I haven't seen the tape yet?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's usually the line they roll out.
Yeah, I haven't seen the tape.
I'm going to watch the tape after this.
Yeah.
Was that Chip?
Yeah. Well, I hadn't talked to the doctors and didn't watch the tape.
I'm going to talk to the doctors after I talk to you guys.
Yeah. Man, what a guy.
215-592-9494. Reese in North Philly. You're on WIP. What's up, Reese?
What's going on, fellas?
Finally, a truth teller on this show.
Oh, yes, finally. It's been 229 days since I tried to call in and was on hold for 3 hours and 55 minutes.
Wow.
I had to take a little strike, personal strike on you guys.
Why?
But, that's our loss.
What did we do?
No. I just was on hold from 201 to 555. I'm like, God, but I did hear Corey call me out. As the first caller back in that day, I never got to get to him. But that's saved for a later date. I got a solution that is a big elephant in the room. Jalen Hurts or A.J. Brown cannot be on this team after next year. And we're going to have to trade the second-best quarterback on the team, Jalen Hurts, because there's no way that this offense should be this putrid, this egregiously bad. If any other quarterback had zero passing yards. I mean, the average quarterbacks in this league would play with this offense. We don't pass the ball a lot, and we got great wide receivers. Not many elite quarterbacks would sign up for that type of offense. It's obvious what the problem is, but I understand the Hurt sexuals. They want to defend him at every cost. He's the reason we won yesterday, despite having zero passing yards. I don't understand it. He's the obvious issue with the team. And I was wrong. I said we can't win the Super Bowl with Jalen Hurts. I was wrong. We won the Super Bowl despite Jalen Hurts.
Well, I played great in the games.
In spite of Jalen Hurts, not despite Jalen Hurts.
Well, it was 24-0 at halftime, with all due respect. Hooper DeJean had a pick six, and Bond had an interception at the 8. So the defense really contributed 14 of the 24 points.
Reese,
game was over by
Reese,
then.
You don't really think, though, that they're going to trade Jalen Hurts, do you?
Of course he doesn't.
Absolutely. I think Howie Roseman knows the limitations. He sees it. I think he would make what's best, the best interest for this team. And if you put Tanner McKee, you can replace Jalen Hurts with Tanner McKee better than you can play A.J. Brown with whomever you think you can replace him with. Tanner McKee can make this offense be okay. Even better. He got a better arm. He's taller. He releases the ball quicker. Like, it's the obvious move to me. You know,
are we going to continue to let this nonsense just keep flowing?
Well, I'm waiting for you to say something.
Please, let this nonsense keep
flowing. Michael, ask him later tonight.
Exactly. Reese, in all seriousness, why would the Eagles get rid of a quarterback that does nothing but win football games?
Because he's not the reason we win, Spike. He is not the reason. He's carried by a bunch of talent on the team. There's 20 other quarterbacks who would have won that game.
And that may be true. That may be true. I'm not going to even argue that.
Ain't no maybe about it.
No, that may be true. But here's what I'll tell you. When the last time can you tell me he cost you a game?
That he cost us a game?
Yeah.
Super Bowl, we lost to the Chiefs.
He didn't cost us that. He didn't cost us that game.
Also, that was 3 years ago.
3 points.
I mean,
and that was 3 years ago. Hold on. That was 3 years ago.
That's off the top of the head. He doesn't make passes because
you'd have to go back to the end of the 2023 season, some of those games where you can maybe blame Jalen. The Seattle game, couple throws late in that game. I think he certainly could have made better decisions. I didn't like the Cowboys game either, but it seemed like no one showed up after they all got throttled by the 49ers the week before. But Jalen rarely costs you games. I'm not saying he's the reason that you win or he's the sole reason that you win. I'm not saying he puts the team on his shoulders. Yes, we know it's a great roster. What I'm saying is that he doesn't cost you games. He doesn't cause you to lose games. You win an awful lot with Jalen Hurts as the quarterback.
We the 29th in passing.
I understand that. Yes.
Of course he doesn't cost us because he doesn't get the opportunity.
Sure he does. Sure he does. Sure he does. Yes, he does. He gets the opportunity.
He doesn't throw 30-plus passes a game.
We don't need him to.
Devontae Smith, they are underperforming because the quarterback isn't good enough. We don't put him in a position to throw the ball because that's not his strength. If we get Tanner McKee back there he's going to look like an MVP candidate.
I don't know about that. Yeah. I certainly think he would thrive in the offense. That's for sure. I like Tanner McKee. I'm
sure he played good.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I don't know.
Yeah, but he wouldn't be able to run the same.
Exactly. You take away the running element of the offense from the quarterback position, which means he has to be that much better at throwing the football. Like, he has to be. That's why Nick Foles, right? Like he can show you in glimpses. But the longer you're out there, then some of the things you don't do well get exposed. So, Jalen, for him being a starter for 5 years and winning at the rate he does, this is why I always push back against people that feel like anybody could do what he does. Because they couldn't. Because there is something to making winning plays and not making losing plays. Believe me, I see a lot of quarterbacks that make bad throws. Baker Mayfield late in that game. It's first down right there. That's a bad decision. Throw the ball away. You never see Jalen make that throw in that situation. Doesn't mean he's never thrown an interception. I'm just saying when it's coming down late and he has to score or put the ball in the end zone, I don't really recall many times where he makes bad decisions that cost him the game.
Well, and also,
he's played a lot of football.
Also,
played a lot of football in 5.5 years.
Functionally, I just don't know how, as an organization, you go. Things would have to get so bad.
They're not trading Jalen.
You have to lose games.
Yes.
You have to be losing games. Why would you trade your quarterback when he does nothing but win?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, the AJ thing might be a thing.
Yeah, AJ, that may happen with him, and that I think that depends on AJ. I don't think the Eagles would want to get rid of A.J. Brown. They love A.J. Brown as a player. Why would they want to get rid of A.J. Brown? That would have to be A.J. requesting to be moved on from.
Can you imagine?
I don't think that's going to – I mean, who knows what the future will hold after the season, but the Eagles in no way would be looking to trade A.J. Brown.
Can you imagine the contract negotiations for the next A.J. Brown contract as A.J. sits down and the Eagles go, you know, you're only averaging –
Right. Now that's different.
Then he'd say, put on the tape.
If it's time for a new deal, things may get tricky then.
Well, because he signed before last year, right?
Yeah, so he signed an extension.
Yeah. We will have Nick Sirianni's press conference for you as soon as it goes live. 215.
It's 4-0, man.
Yeah. 592-9494. Donald in Chester, you're on WIP. What's up, Donald?
Hello. Hey, I call Tom.
Yeah, it's been a while.
What's up, Don?
Yes, it has. It's Spike. This is my first time calling in while you've been on the show.
Spike is hosting, yeah.
What's up, Don?
You know, listen, I do have to agree with you with the passing game here. See, I just believe that they're just too conservative for what it is that they're trying to do. Because I'm sitting there and I remember something that Jack said about having Ben Johnson. And I was thinking about Joe Brady from the Buffalo Bills because, man, they just do so much to keep them from just having the standard drop back and throw the ball. Because I really agree with you. If we can't run the football, we can't drop back like 30 or 40, 45 times a game and do that because Jalen, he can't run the ball that much. You know, that takes a toll. And see, and AJ said something before the game. Before he tweeted what he tweeted, he told the reporter in the locker room, he said, you know, he said, Saquon has set us up last year. He set us up in the passing game. And he said that we want to be there for him this year. You know, we want to be able to do that.
And AJ didn't talk after the game yesterday.
No. He talked before the game.
Oh, before the game. Jack, okay.
Yeah. Spike, there was an interview inside the locker room and the reporter, and he told them, and he said, we want to be there for Saquon. He's talking about Smitty, you know, Goddard and Dotson. You know, he's talking about we want to be there for him because of how he set us up last year. You know, and I think AJ is frustrated, and I think with that tweet, AJ might have already had said something and voiced his opinion along with Hurts, especially after the Rams game, and I think that's what that tweet, you know, was coming from. Because, see, I'm in the 48%. And the reason why I'm in the 48% is that until Sirianni and Petullo go above and beyond to get Hurts the ball, I mean, get A.J. the ball if he's being covered. You know, then, you know, there's multiple things that we can do with him. Once that doesn't work, then I can understand A.J. is cooked and A.J. is burnt. So my thing is, until Petullo and Sirianni work hard at the passing game and not just waiting for the run game to come around, you know, I'm going to always be looking at those two about that.
Well, how the running game and the how'd the passing game look in the first half?
I just thought, I think in the first half it looked good until the adjustment was made. So once the adjustment was made, it didn't seem like we made an adjustment. See, I think AJ doesn't have a problem winning. AJ doesn't have a problem with Saquon running the ball. He just knows that when we can't run the ball, the passing game shouldn't look like that. It should look similar to what the Rams in the second half, and it should look similar to what it did in the first half and the Bucs game. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's what his frustration is.
I looked at yesterday, and it appeared to me they tried to get him the ball in the second half. I'd be surprised if anybody was targeted more than AJ in the second half of that game.
Well, there's no way that anyone was, actually.
Yeah.
Because they only threw eight passes.
And I think five of them went to AJ.
Yeah, yeah.
See, I just think that, like, we need to, like, you know how they threw the shovel passes to a Dallas Goedert?
Yeah.
You know, when they got the touchdown. See, I just think that we just need to see a little bit more creativity, you know, for the passing game and not for it to be so reliant on the run game, because the guys up front, you know, are just human. I mean, they've been immortal for the last couple of years, and they have.
Sure.
But, man, they struggle, and they need to get it together. But their pass blocking was a little bit better yesterday than it was better since the second half of the Rams.
Donald, you know what potentially could happen? Your offense can stall, or turnovers can happen when you are consciously trying to force the ball to somebody.
Yeah, right. I got that. I got that. All right, because like I'm one of Hurts' biggest fans since Bama, and I don't agree with forcing the ball. It's just that a lot of times, you know, I like to make sure that the coaching and the coordinator dotted all their I's and crossed all their T's before I. You know, before I say something about AJ, and it was just that there was I just think.
But what we're saying about AJ though is him putting a tweet out. Like, we all agree that he should get the ball more. We agree that he's frustrated, and justifiably so. But the discussion surrounding AJ is more or less: is he happy here? Is he happy with winning? They won the game yesterday.
That might be an issue, that might be an issue. And I was thinking this. I don't know if this is what the case is, but he may just have an issue with the whole philosophy now, because the philosophy is about going through Saquon.
Well, yeah, but,
you know?
But they win football games.
I know. I know. But you know what?
They're
winning.
You know
what? Maybe some guys are just tired of just winning. You know, and
you better side with that, right? Yeah, you're tired of winning. You want AJ to get the ball so he's happy.
I mean, no, I'm not saying all that, but I do understand the part, because if AJ said that they wanted to come through and be able to carry Saquon and carry this running game, see, I understand that part for his frustration for not opening up the offense more.
But all we're saying, Donald, is that he doesn't need to voice it or tweet it.
Yeah. I just think he got tired, man. I just think he did. Yeah, no. I mean, you're right, but I think
he just got nine balls last week and a touchdown and 100 and some yards.
Thank you for the call, Donald. Just don't tweet it. If you're pissed off, tell your coach,
quarterback. We all understand the frustration.
100%.
But I'm just more or less like, come on, big dog. We're winning. And I'd be a hypocrite if I've gotten on Cassidy about this.
Yes,
I mean, and
about
not being
selfish.
That selfish, yes.
Yes.
So I can't ignore this. This is more about AJ than it is about the team or anything else.
Can you imagine if AJ was the level of player Cassidy was? It would be like Jahan Dotson tweeting out that he wasn't getting the ball enough. You know,
Jahan called a straight air.
Well, I mean, no offense, but where in his hierarchy on the team,
yes.
Like AJ is being saved on two levels. One, because he's so good, mm-hmm. and two, because people know he's being genuine.
Like right.
that he's honestly feeling this way, and he's honestly frustrated, and we understand why he's frustrated.
And I get it. Yeah. I really do get it. We've ranted and raved and on behalf of AJ all
yes.
year long.
But makes it hard when he
yes.
does this.
All I'm saying is the team won, and this becomes a storyline, and it doesn't need to be a storyline. And it's not just Philadelphia media. It's a national storyline. Listen, it's not the end of the world, but it's a storyline. When you really could be talking about the Eagles overcoming a place where they usually struggle and don't come away with W's.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
They've come away with a W, and they're one of two teams that's undefeated after 4 weeks. We always say you got to sort of feel your way through the first month of the season. It's like preseason. Well, guess what? We said that last year, 2-2, and we wanted people fired. Everything was going on. Well, they're sitting at 4-0 and not playing their best football. They're sitting at 4-0 and not playing their best football. So the best is still to come. The best is still to come, and that's what I need AJ to sort of focus in on, is that it's a long season, and this thing will turn around for you. It'll turn around for you, but you can't create waves that become a distraction to a degree for Nick to have to answer, Jalen has to answer, and they all have to walk on eggshells around this because they understand AJ's frustration, and they know they're going to need him, so you can't dismiss it. You can't dismiss it, but you also can't feed into it. Because you spend all week talking about team and sacrifice and commitment, and winning is the only thing that matters. So, like, these goes against some of the principles and core values that Nick has that he's preaching every week. And AJ just has to do a better job of bottling this stuff up, man. And sometimes it's best not to say anything. If you didn't want to speak to the media, that's fine. We would have got the message.
Yep.
We would have got the message. But you put the tweet out there, and it's like, okay, yep, that confirms. he's not happy.
By the way, if at the end of the year you're not happy with how it's going, ask to get traded.
No.
I'm just saying. I'm saying during the year,
yeah.
after, and you said they haven't played their best football. Also, they may have just played their toughest four-game stretch of the year.
Yes.
Like, the next game, we have Denver. Who's good, but fine.
Giants, twice?
Yep. Giants twice
and
before
Minnesota
the end of October?
Yeah.
And Minnesota, who's fine, but.
Yeah, but that could be another four wins.
Yes.
We could be sitting at 8-0.
At the bye.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're doing good. Back to back.
Speaking of Nick Sirianni, he's obviously trying to ice us out.
Yep.
That's why he hasn't started his press conference yet. We will bring it to you as soon as it's here. 215-592-9494. Anthony in Southwest Philly, you're on WIP. What's up, Ant?
Fellas, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
What's up, Ant?
Hey, what's going on, man? Hey, listen, I'm sitting here listening to you, Ike, man, and I'm agreeing with everything you say, and I usually don't do that when I call into this show, man. It's not that you have bad points. You were a former player, so. But, I want to make a point, but I want to say this first. Anybody that thinks that the Philadelphia Eagles should trade Jalen Hurts, you are out of your mind.
Of their mind.
Yeah, it was
out
one
of
guy.
Control.
We don't need the
insane.
Nobody's
you're
saying
out
that.
Of your mind. You're going too far. And
yeah,
I want to make a point, but I want to say this first.
I love Philly.
When
Kai hasn't lost a game since September of last year. sorry.
No, I'm sorry. So when AJ came here, right, he he wanted to come to Philadelphia because he wanted to play with Jalen. And I'll make my point right after I say this. He wanted to play with Jalen. That was very clear. You look at the phone call that they had between one another when, you know, the trade happened or whatever it was that happened. And he was over the moon excited, man. He was happy to be coming to play. Nobody ever called Jalen Aaron Rodgers before he came here. He has never been a guy. That was the biggest problem that Nick Saban had with him at Alabama. He was a guy that you know, threw the ball often. He always wanted to go to the run. We know that Nick had the famous saying where he talked about he took away Jalen's ability to run the ball in practice because he wanted him to focus on reading the defense and throwing the ball more. So with that being said, I think AJ, and this is my point, I called in not to speak to you guys. I want to say this because there was a turning point in my life. I'm 42 years old now, right? And I know for emotionally unintelligent people, they hear all the noise. So if AJ can do the things that he's doing right now, trust me, he listens to 94 WIP. So I want to speak directly to this young brother, and whether he hears it or not, I'll let that go in the wind. But AJ does not have a problem with anything except for emotional unintelligence. And I can remember a point in my career when I was young and I was playing ball, and my college coach sent me to a therapist. And I thought he was crazy as hell when he first did it. But what it did for me was this guy introduced me to a book called Emotional Intelligence, and it was a book written by this guy. I think his name was Daniel Goldman. I'm saying that because AJ likes to read. We all know that. Go pick that book up, man. Go pick it up, go read it, because I think where AJ is suffering right now is that he looks at discipline. He looks at the things that he brings to the table for this team as all he needs to do. I'm a disciplined guy. I've learned all these different things playing sports, and I'm doing everything I'm being asked to do. But emotional intelligence for him will be the next step. And what I mean by that is if you take a football game, for example, discipline is knowing, okay, we only got 5 seconds left, 10 seconds left on the clock. We need to run back to the huddle. That takes discipline. Emotional intelligence is when you get there, you ain't getting the ball. Maybe this route is going to this young guy, to this rookie or whatever it is. You making sure that he understands what he's supposed to be doing in that moment and that you're giving him everything he needs to do to make sure that the play or whatever goes the way it's supposed to. I think AJ is going to be fine long term. But what I would like for him to understand is exactly what you're saying. This is a long season. Don't make yourself the talking point all year where people are looking at you and then they turn, especially in Philadelphia, they turn from being on your side when it comes to certain things. Because I'm there. Y'all know I'm a Jalen Hurts guy through and through. I'm never going to change that. I love this young brother, everything about him. But at the end of the day, I also agree with AJ. You knew when you came here, this guy was not a world beater when it came to throwing the ball. And we can all look at the situation. Y'all tell me, Ike Spike, if Kevin Petullo was the head coach, was the offensive coordinator of any other team in the league right now, is he 4-0?
I don't know.
But yeah, depending on what team he's on.
I'm not saying give me the facts. I'm saying, do you think he would have him? He would be the offensive coordinator of a 4-0 team if he were anywhere else right now, first year. Do you think he has? He's showing you that on a week by week basis with the way he's running this offense or putting it out there on the field. Is he 4-0?
I legitimately have no idea. There's only one other 4-0 team in the NFL, so probably not. But
okay.
There's only one other offensive coordinator in football right now who's 4-0.
Okay, so my point is this. Throughout Jalen's career, Shane Steichen, we saw what Jalen did under Shane Steichen. Yes, he threw the ball a lot more under Shane, but we see what Shane has been able to do with the guy in Daniel that he has right now. He's a good coach, and he coaches offense in a really good way. Jalen has played under 5 OCs since he's been here, and he's found a way to make all of them appear to be really good. You look at New Orleans right now. They're not – come on now. So
what do you think the Saints record would be with Jalen at quarterback?
I think it would be better than it is because you put Jalen anywhere since high school. Show me where he's ever lost that. Where has he not won?
All right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah. Could it be better than one of these?
All right.
I'm not
okay.
saying that.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Shrewd,
yeah.
Oak.
Yeah. Jalen makes all of the offensive coordinators.
No,
he makes
I'm
the offensive coordinators pull their hair out.
No. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is this. If I go talk to a young guy right now, right, I will tell them right now, you might all not right. be able to beat A.J. Brown. You might not be able to.
All right. I got it. I appreciate the call, Anthony. I got it.
Been a long-winded
Too
hour.
Much Jalen Love?
Well, no. Nah. I didn't know that he thinks A.J. Brown should see a therapist and read a book, I guess. I think he should not tweet. I think he should not tweet about not getting the ball when the team is 4-0. That's all. That's all I think. And I think if he is pissed off about not getting the ball, we all agree with him. He should get the ball. He should also talk to his coach and talk to his quarterback about what he can do to get the ball. And they should solve it because they will be a better team if they get him the ball more.
Do the Eagles know that Donovan's on it for?
Yeah, I guess they have no idea.
Yeah, do they realize that?
All right. Why don't we will take a break. When we come back, we'll have two things. So if Nick Sirianni talking. And we'll also have Donovan McNabb.
At the same time.
Yeah, we'll interview Donovan while Nick's talking. We'll figure it out. That is coming up next. We are at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. You know you can watch all the action, all the Eagles action at your local Chickies and Pete's, the official sports bar of your Philadelphia Eagles. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly what people outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.